Welcome to Marketing Mambo with your host, Terry McDougall. It's the fun and fast podcast where we chat with marketing movers and shakers from around the globe. Hello, Marketing Mambo Nation. It's Terry McDougall. I am honored to have Flora Yang here with me today. Flora has 15 years of professional experience in marketing and PR. She has worked in Beijing, Shanghai, Hangzhou, New York, and Vancouver, working across multiple industries in a variety of roles. She has also worked for one of the leading independent creative agencies in the world, Wieden & Kennedy, and for Fortune 500 companies such as McDonald's China. She has also built up a business from scratch to launching aggressive growth plans to establish new brands and businesses in new markets. She has obtained solid experience in business planning, execution, branding, communication, and operations, and has worked effectively in well-structured corporate and hyper-vibe startups. Flora holds an MBA from the Souter School of Business at the University of British Columbia and a BA in journalism from the Communication University of China. Flora, welcome.
Thank you, Terry. It's my greatest honor to be here today. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our conversation as well. And we recently met because we both have gone through the same book writing program. And it's been so exciting to meet people from different areas in the world. Tell us about where you got started in marketing, what led you to want to pursue a marketing career, and what were some of the highlights of your career?
Thank you, Terry. So I started my career from advertising. I was a journalist for Advertising Magazine, which is the only advertising magazine in Chinese back then. And it was funded by a Chinese advertising guru, Jimmy Lam. I was an industrial journalist for about 3 years. And then I get to know the whole industry on a very high level. We hang out with a lot of executive creative directors. And then we hang out on like Cannes Festival. And then everything was just so excited for a fresh graduate. I was like, yeah, I want to step into this advertising industry more. I got the chance to interview a bunch of creative professionals, especially from China on Cannes Lions of Advertising Festival, as well as AdFest, and then also some local advertising festivals. I got to know the industry on a higher level. And then I start to feel like I was getting more and more interested in how does this industry actually work? I know a lot of terms, I know everybody's work, but what is it like day to day? There was an opportunity that connected with Wieden and Kennedy when they were launching their Shanghai office back in 2006. I was a friend with their PR manager, and she was leaving. And then she was like, are you interested in being a PR manager for Wieden and Kennedy? And then Wieden, of course, is one of the most excited companies I've ever heard and then I've ever worked at. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I joined Wieden & Kennedy as a PR manager. So we're trying to build a creative community around the company. And we're also trying to build a brand as an independent creative agency, not like those big four A's, but an independent one. We're also trying to engage more clients from local. That's where I started my real communication job. And then I also felt I am always passionate about communication. I want to make some impact. I want to influence some people. And then I want to get connected to people who are similar like you yourself, Terry. Like when I first attended your speaking for our creators program, I was like, oh my God, this is the very similar experience. And then I'm like, I'm so excited to connect. So I want to stay connected. I want to stay influenced and then impacted. So I want to know more about the communication as a professional. And then after 3 years in Wieden, I learned a lot on the agency side, but I start to get more curious about how does it look like from a client side? What is it like working for a real big corporate? And then again, I stayed connected to a bunch of people. And then one of my friends referred me to McDonald's China. And then as we all know, McDonald's is a very well-established company with its own system. And then it's one of the best places to learn corporate culture, especially in FMCG industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined the McDonald's China headquarters as the marketing communication manager, and I started to learn how to work in a huge company and how to also be impactful and influential in a big company. I work with internal communication. I work with social media team. I work with marketing team, which is a huge team for McDonald's because McDonald's is super sensitive to customer faced end. So I work with them a lot and then I get to learn more. So overall, that was my marketing experience before I moved away from Shanghai. And then after that, I did some B2B marketing, but my passion to marketing or communications or like staying connected with people never decreases. So I think that's probably what really motivates me all the time to stay in the marketing type of mindset and then career.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've noticed that marketers tend to have in common is a curiosity.
Absolutely.
And a desire to solve meaty problems.
Absolutely. Yeah, like the curiosity is definitely something super important for a marketer. You have to genuinely want to know what's going on with your target audience, with your consumers or customers, then you can do this job, like you can enjoy this job. And then after my MBA, I learned even more on the data analysis and business insight and consumer insight in this marketing idea. So marketing is not only the flamboyant creative side, but also data side, which actually gave me a better picture of the whole thing and also helped me to move forward to my business aspiration.
I love the point that you made that marketing is not just about the creative, right? It's like creativity in a vacuum is worthless, quite frankly. It's got to really be informed by data. And one of the things that I think is very interesting about the evolution of marketing and marketers is how much in today's marketing world, it's really critical that marketers embrace both the left brain and the right brain, being creative, but also being able to understand the data and be data driven and be curious about what does the data tell us, because that's how we can get out ahead and anticipate what our clients or customers are going to want and need, and we can meet them there. So I would love to hear more about what it must have been like working for McDonald's, because frankly, I don't think that there's probably a more American company than McDonald's. And actually, I'm here in the Chicagoland area. And so it's right here in Oak Brook. And I think they've moved into Chicago. But to your point, they're probably one of the best and most consistently branded companies in the world, most recognized companies. And also they have such an interesting challenge to develop that very disciplined brand framework, but also be able to adapt it to the many marketplaces that they operate. There's really no marketplace that's larger than China. So tell me a bit about what was that like working for McDonald's in China?
I'm really glad you asked. China is a very special market, but every market has its own specialty. I want to maybe give everybody a better sense by telling you a story. So I remember when I was working at McDonald's, we pulled through a project called McMuffin Day. So McMuffin Day was this crazy idea that we are giving out 1,000 McMuffin for free on one day across all the stores in China, actually in the whole APAC. That was a global initiative. So basically based on their time zones, they had that one day for breakfast time. We gave out 1,000 McMuffin. So it was a gigantic initiative, but it just rolled out very smoothly across the whole world. Like we get the brief, we worked with the APAC headquarters, and then we are coming up with all the implementation plans and then all the measurements and stuff, the planning locally. I'm working for the China headquarters. So there are regions in China that I was managing. And we just roll out like layer by layer. So the system has been proven working for McDonald's because it's such a long-lasting and successful company. And then I think the secret is that the system, it works very smoothly across layers. So it doesn't have to be necessarily flat to get things across, but with a clear system and then with a very clear structure, such a huge company can also move very fast. So that McMuffin Day, everybody was just like talking about it. So all the social media were picking up it. And then it was a great example. There were a lot of internal communications coordination. There were a lot of meetings, but every single time when we pass on some message, we make it very clear. We make it very templated, leave less room for interpretation, but still room for creation. That was the biggest event I had when I was there. We had it for 2 years. And then due to some safety reasons, we canceled the second year because there were some incident of some sort of, so the government banned all the big gathering because you have more than 1,000 people lining out of your store.
Yeah, sure. That would be a risk. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I would say that was a perfect example for how a global concept go all the way down to every level and then how to keep everything in the place. And of course, mm-hmm. we have corporate communication and then everything comes from McDonald's should go through there. McMuffin Day was one of the best examples how a initiative come from the global and go all the way to the region. I think in terms of facing outside, in terms of the message that general audience get, there are corporate communication, there are marketing communication, everything related to that certain area will have a designated channel. So that's one of the ways we keep the brand still in one place in the practice. It was very aware for whoever internally that anything go out of the door comes through the communication department. Mm-hmm. So I think make that structural design, make that practice design is super critical for keep your brand in one place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The flip side of that, or maybe within those parameters, obviously things that you got from Oak Brook here in Illinois, that some of the communications weren't going to be directly applicable or they might not even make sense within the Chinese culture. What was the process like to adapt the communications or the advertising to what would be relevant in that market?
That's a great question. As an American brand, we were talking a lot about localization back then as well, in terms of the product, in terms of communications, in terms of everything like design and stuff. It's worth keeping in mind that back then, China wasn't the biggest market for McDonald's. And mm-hmm. then back then, KFC actually has doubled stores number than McDonald's. In China, we were actually moving slower than KFC. Where everywhere else, of course, McDonald's is the dominant brand. So if there is a global initiative come down to China market, it will be discussed in a management level, which we had a task force group meeting every week. I represented our department for a while and then to get to know what's going on that meeting. And then we will assess the feasibility. But most of the time, we're more in a position of make it happen. So how we make it happen, we get the big ideas or we get the initiatives and then we get what we need to do. And then we talk to our local staff as well. Like we talk to our regional PR managers and then marketing managers to get an idea of what the market will be like and what the media would say about it and stuff like that. And then we will make definitely executable plan for everyone. So it's the nuance will go more into the detailed design of an implementation rather than, okay, let's change this idea in general. So we were just like, okay, 1,000 McMuffin, how are we going to do that? We also need to ask the biggest question, why we do that? So why we did that was because we wanted to promote breakfast time at McDonald's portfolio. We were doing great during the day. We're trying to get more of the market. So how do we do that? Okay, we want to promote breakfast timing. So how do we do that? Is it feasible to do it start at 6 a.m.? Or should we just start as 9 a.m.? That was something we localized. We have aligned big goals. We have aligned big whys, but we also do hows in terms of a more localized way. At that time, one thing, we were lucky because China used one time zone. So we started at one civilized time for everybody. So we managed to roll out in one go, and then all the social media comes at one time. So it was lucky. So that was also localized.
You know, that's interesting when you were talking about the promotion of that 1000 McMuffin day, because that just made me realize that you're really trying to probably change a cultural norm where people weren't used to going out and buying breakfast. And it reminds me of whenever I was a kid, and I think McDonald's introduced breakfast in like the 1970s. And I can remember it was like a really big treat if my dad went out and bought McMuffins and brought them home for us to have for breakfast, because you just ate breakfast at home. It was not common to go out and get fast food breakfast. So it sounds like that's something that you're really trying to introduce, this new idea into a culture that didn't have it previously.
Yeah, I would say it was a little bit disruptive. And don't forget that the Chinese people have a very different style of breakfast other than McMuffins. First, like you said, seeing the consumption set of breakfast outside. And then the second is a different style and taste and stuff. We also released the news ahead. So we broadcasted, we are going to give 1,000 McMuffins on March the 18th, if I remember it correctly. So we will have the warm up as well. So we also gather feedback from local market, like how did the media take it? How is the operation team taking it? And then it was a huge stress for operation. One thing I think worth mentioning is that one of the reasons why McDonald's is a very successful brand, it does have a very strong operations team. They literally get everything done uniformly.
It strikes me as operations and logistical pros.
Yeah.
Just one more question about McDonald's that I'm curious about. You've been here in North America for a few years. I've heard about some of the modifications that have been made in different markets. What's a modification to the menu in China that we might be surprised to hear about here in North America?
I'm glad you asked. You know what I miss the most of McDonald's China is the spicy chicken wing. We cannot get it here from North America, but I loved it. I really loved it. But that's one of the evidence of how strong McDonald's is on consumer insight. So Chinese people like bones when they eat chicken.
Oh, okay.
We prefer the nibbling and then like the bone, like fighting a little bit over the bone. We believe any meat near the bones is more alive. That's very interesting. So I didn't know that until I joined McDonald's. I was like, the spicy chicken one is good. And then when you have some fried stuff, it's always better to be a little bit more flavorful. So if it's just a fried chicken wing, it probably won't be that successful, but it was spicy. So you have a little bit of flavor. And then with the bone, but as far as I know, it was never on North American menu. It was one of the best selling items. That was one of the localization in China, but it also kept McDonald's brand image on the other hand. So it wasn't going anywhere crazy.
Like they have chicken on the menu. It's just that they adapted it. They localized it for what the customers there would prefer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how spicy were they? Because I know that there are certain regions in China that like it really spicy.
Yeah, sometimes the customers will message us on our microblog, Weibo, which is equivalent of Twitter in China. They will message us like, oh, your spicy chicken wing is too spicy these days.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So they will also let us know. But overall, we have standard ingredients like menu, recipe and stuff. In general, it's kind of okay for everybody. So it wasn't too crazy. But I think it's definitely spicy for whoever not used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit. So I know that you're in Vancouver now. So tell us, what brought you here to North America?
I moved to Canada as a professional immigrant. Back then, I was in the middle of the transition of my career as a marketing and business development professional back in Shanghai. And then I was thinking about getting into more on business side, of course, on top of marketing. I applied for the professional immigrant program of Canada, and then I was fortunate enough to be able to move over. So at the very beginning, I thought maybe I just stay and then get everything straight and I will go back to Shanghai. But I found a job here as executive assistant for a venture capital firm. And then, as you may have known, that in Canada, a lot of clean tech, a lot of clean energy startups, a lot of high tech startups are here. And then, like, venture capital firm on this sector actually can oversee a lot of those business ideas and then really make a change by founding them. So I thought, oh, that was a great opportunity for me to stay and learn. I stayed in that venture capital firm for about 5 years. And then we invested in wireless charging for electric vehicle. We invested in electronic paper display, like the Kindle, but a better version. We invested in a bunch of other companies. So I learned a lot on tech startups and on investment. So it was a great opportunity. In terms of marketing during that period of time, I switched a little bit more to support B2B. So it was more like trade show. It was more of how to get the message out to your business customers and how to build up the corporations.
Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of my career in B2B. I like that. I've never really worked too much in the B2C area, and certainly not something as ubiquitous as McDonald's. But I like B2B because there's a typically a very close relationship between sales and marketing that you're just really hand in glove. And you're talking about the trade shows where if you're attending, you are meeting your customers, right? So you can have those meaningful conversations that inform your strategy, which is super valuable and interesting. Yeah, I actually worked for a Canadian company for 12 years. I was in their US business, but I spent a lot of time in Canada. It's a great country.
Yeah, I like it here in Vancouver. Beautiful mountains, beautiful seas. Life is laid back, very different from Shanghai. But
I've been there once and it is a beautiful city.
Yeah, it's a very different vibe.
I like the air there. The air just feels like really clean. Fresh. Yeah, it's very nice. Flora, thank you for all the insights you've given us. I have enjoyed hearing about all of these, and it really is fulfilling everything that I hoped that this podcast would do, which is really giving people different perspectives on marketing. Yeah. So tell me, what's next for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I actually spent like 8 months in 2020 to think about it. What's the best time to think about it, right? It was on a pause kind of thing. I am working on my consulting business in terms of a day-to-day job. I'm working with executives, CEOs to unlock their capacity of their current assistant, like supporters around them, or like new CEOs who are freshly working with an assistant. That's one of the projects I'm working on. I'm also working on my book, which is expected to be published in August 2021. I'm so excited about that. I'm handing in my first draft next week. So hopefully that will go well. And then I also hope that people can find it useful if you are thinking about self-discovery, if you are thinking about, is it for me or should I change, or if you have those similar questions that not answered, probably you will find my book interesting, because currently my working title is Unanswered, Those Unanswered Questions in the Life. And then you will find the book interesting if you also move to new countries, you're starting up your new life and stuff like that. That's pretty much what keeps me busy right now.
Wow, that's so interesting. And I can't wait to read your book, Unanswered. And it's funny, love the whole concept of this. And I'll just share that as a coach, I'm an executive and career coach, that a lot of times I'm working with people that do want to make a radical change in their life, but naturally, sometimes it can be a little intimidating and people worry about, am I making the right decision and how will I know? And one of the things that I advise people to do is find somebody who's done something similar to what you're looking to do and talk with them and ask them, what were the pitfalls? What were the things that you wish you'd known? And because you've worked in some really interesting areas, worked for an American brand in China and made that transition from journalism into advertising and then into working for a big global corporation and then immigrating to Canada and going to school in Canada. You've made a lot of transitions that people dream of. So I'm sensing that this book's going to be a gold mine.
It's so nice of you, Terry. I wouldn't be that big-headed, but I do feel like by sharing, by being helpful, is probably what I can do with the experience I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, I'm pretty intrigued by your consulting business, helping new CEOs unlock the productivity that's, you know, probably right there at their fingertips if they work with their assistants in an appropriate way. Tell me a little bit more about that. Who's your ideal customer?
Absolutely. This is an idea like under cooking. I'm actually roll out a little bit of experiment here. That's basically why I reach out to you for your valuable advice on how to do coaching. In terms of my target clients, I would say those startup creators transforming into leaders, transforming to executives. Mm-hmm. I started my own business before, and I know you do everything for yourself. But every organization in the growth phase, they will need a better structure. They will need more support. And then as a CEO, she just can't do everything herself. What's now? Having three pages of to-do list, or you just get things done instead of being the bottleneck of their organization? What I want to do is to help them and sometimes help their executive assistant to better work together to make everybody's life is a little bit easier. Because as an owner or creator of a business, they sometimes don't know how to delegate, or their assistant doesn't have the whole picture. How to assist both sides to work better together is one of my experiment now. So I'm really grateful for my current CEOs who offer to work with me, and I'm supporting them, but I'm also trying to draw out something in that territory, because not a lot of executive assistant moved into a consulting business, or not a lot of consultants have been executive assistant. I happen to have experience from in this area.
There aren't a huge number of executive assistants that have MBAs either. It really sounds like what you're doing is you understand the gap that exists between what the executive needs to get done and how he could use that resource. He could leverage his assistant more highly so that he or she can focus more on the work that only they can do.
Absolutely. I'm journaling every day right now about my like daily job. So hopefully I can really create something out of this experience as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that can be your second book.
I will keep my finger crossed. Like I will definitely reach out to pick your mind on that.
I've really enjoyed our conversation today. I just love looking over your shoulder at a lot of the things that you've experienced. And I hope that our listeners are going to enjoy and appreciate this too. I believe that they will. And again, your book is called Unanswered, or at least that's the working title, and it's coming out in August, which is great. And maybe I'll have you come back after it's published to give us an update. Where can people get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more about your consulting services?
Thanks, Terry. First of all, it's my greatest honor to join this. People can reach out to me on LinkedIn. And my experience, most of my book updates will go there. People can find me as Flora Young on LinkedIn.
Okay, Flora Young on LinkedIn. I will put that information in the show notes as well. Flora, thank you so much. Happy 2021. I wish you all the best.
Happy 2021, Terry. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Marketing Mambo. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, like, and share.
I'd love to hear from you. Check out the show notes for my social media and contact information. Until next time, adios.